broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for May the 11th in the year of our Lord, 2018. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That's our guide. We're also convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great restorative solutions we have today. Are you going to help us use the tools for peaceful restoration? You see, we reject revolution. It's violent and bloody and rarely turns out well, but the restorative opportunities that America affords, what a blessing, using the checks and balances that our founding fathers gave so much for. Are we going to honor them? Are we going to look back with appreciation to their legacy and look forward with honor and a fidelity to the supreme law of the land, to God, family, and country? That's our hope in the greatest peaceful restoration the country and the world has ever seen. Welcome to the broadcast. It is a freedom-loving, fantastic, we're taking America back one heart, one mind, one issue at a time Friday. A quick recap of yesterday's broadcast, still available online free, on demand at your fingertips, libertyroundtable.com. We had our guest on, Mr. Brian Rust. Over the past 50 years, Rust Coin and Gift has been working to help folks understand precious metals and more. RustCoinandGift.com is their website. We talked about the Honest Money Report. Gold at $1,320. Silver, $16.60. Or 67 cents, I guess. $16.67. So, you know, a single silver dollar worth $16.67. If that doesn't tell you something about money, I don't know what does. We talked about child pornography links found in Bitcoin's blockchain. You'll never find that in gold and silver, by the way, folks. Don't trust fiat currency, even if you believe it's created by outside of government forces. Don't be so sure. Donald Trump's plan could boost gold and silver, says Bloomberg, admitting that when more money is in the hands of Americans, that good things happen. People are tying their money to stability and to wealth. We also talked about this group called Tidal. They're now accused of falsifying data. Beyonce and Kanye West's streaming numbers, they say, are faked. Now, Tidal's fighting back on that. But I'm telling you right now, these numbers in the digital world can all be faked. If you don't believe it, just ask Facebook and Twitter, and now Tidal, to name a few. The narrative collapse, we're talking about Navarov, says that I guess they paid Cohen, that's Michael Cohen, more than $1 million for advice he couldn't even provide. Strange stuff when they pay to play, isn't it, ladies and gentlemen? Usually that's fraud. Usually people go to prison, but I don't see anybody's even worried at this point. Do you? We talked about Multe. NBC News investigated itself. Came up empty. No culture of harassment over there at NBC, folks. You should be feeling good when they investigate themselves. We also talked about Disney stripped the movie A Wrinkle in Time of Christianity. They lost about $100 million for their efforts. Yeah, they don't care too much about that fake money. They got plenty of that, but they do care about shutting down Christian values everywhere, don't they, folks? That's why you got to spend your time supporting folks that promote Christianity, not folks that reject Christianity. See, the principles are simple, folks. Stand for what is right and good. Stand against what is bad and wrong. And do it as consistent as you possibly can. All right, ESPN now dumps public editor position shortly after he points out their network's political bias. I don't know if this editor understands the Velvet Hammer, but they shut him down because he doesn't go along with their narrative, their agenda. Donald Trump disses the Nobel Prize. He says the prize I want is victory for the world. Imagine that. They tell you that he's a racist and a nationalist, and now he's saying he wants victory for the world. I want to make all countries great in their own rights, folks. Don't you? That was one single hour of the news the networks refused to use on Liberty Roundtable Live. The second hour is brought to you in part by raw honey delivered directly to your door. you want to learn more, it tastes phenomenal, by the way. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com, or Smile and Dial, 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Tell him, well, tell Kurt Salmon Kurt sent you. How's that? Hour two yesterday, we talked about Bill Clinton ordered the Democratic National Committee, or the DNC, to keep Bernie supporters out of power. Is that vote fraud when that happens? When Bill Clinton does that, the former president literally orders the DNC to keep people out of power? Bordering on vote fraud, in my humble opinion. Mobile phone cancer warning as malignant brain tumors double. I give a big old update on that, about how to reduce the likelihood of getting cancer from some of these devices, but how you should teach to the ideal, but you got to live in the real. How do you deal with all that? Well, we talked about it yesterday. Check it out if you like, libertyroundtable.com. We talked about the Kanye effect, black males' approval of the Donald double in a week's time. Well, I'm glad that Americans are standing together to know what's good and good and support good all the time and reject bad all the time. And doesn't matter what color you are or what race or what economic strata you are, good people standing together for the sacred cause of God, family, and country always has merit. And we can all work together for that as Americans, huh? Good news. Planned Parenthood official, Trump administration trying to pressure women into marriage. Imagine teaching the women that they ought to get married if they're going to be involved in sex. Imagine the old-time tested truths that are centered in the fundamental unit of society, the family. And imagine that horrible Donald Trump trying to encourage people to do that. See, what are these people talking about? We need to shut down taxpayer-funded Planned Parenthood immediately, folks. Rip the funds away yesterday is all I can say. Salem executives, they say, pressured radio hosts to cover Trump more positively, new emails show. So the mainstream press, CNN in this case, acting like this is horrible news. Oh, they caught Donald, or they caught, you know, Salem working together to support the president. Look, 90% of the news coverage is negative against President Trump. Why is it a bad thing when the Salem, the Christian news folks are going, wait a minute now, let's be a little more fair and balanced. Why don't you cover some positive stuff about the Donald? And now they're all, they're acting like somebody's in trouble over that? Ladies and gentlemen, we call it as we see it. And if you look at this broadcast, we criticize the Donald on occasion when he's doing things that we believe are wrong, but then we point out the solutions oftentimes in a time window to help President Trump see things straight and focus on the right things. But our news coverage isn't 90% negative of the Donald. I'll tell you that right now. So I'm not surprised when Salem executives want to look at it more fair and balanced. Maybe Fox ought to take a page out of that playbook, huh? We talked about rent control, which we reject entirely. But a woman who was adopted at 58 years old can keep a $100 a month New York City apartment. Wow. So you got more, government regulation than you got, you know, pulling the lever for special privileges to circumvent that regulation for the benefit of the few at the expense of the many. You see it all the time, right? All right, we talked about winning. This is great news. Private sector employment exceeds expectations once again. Is the mainstream press going to give Donald any credit for that? All right, he said he was going to bring jobs back, and we're starting to see it everywhere. Is it enough? No, we got to keep working at it. But it's a start, and we're going to praise the start. And we're going to be grateful that there's more jobs instead of less. That is a recap of the broadcast that took place yesterday. News the networks refuse to use today starts now. Brought to you in part by GiveMeLibertyFund.com. When you want a win-win-win situation for patriots, think GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Become a member and become part of the solutions today, would you please? All right, without further ado, Kurt Crosby's with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
All right, I got a question for you, and I bet you don't know the answer. Maybe you're smarter than I am, but I did not know the answer until I was forced to discover the answer. Okay? Are you familiar with the United States Economic Census, Kurt?
No.
You're not familiar with this? Well, you better be, my friend. You own a business in America, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm just going to tell you. I don't know if you know about Title 13 of the U.S. Code, Sections 131, 191, 224. Well, that mandates that the federal government take a, quote, economic census every 5 years. Did you know that, Kurt? This is not a joke. This is real. And we got a notice the other day in the mail, and it said, hey, you've been, you know, I don't know what word to use here, Kurt. You've been commandeered. You've been randomly selected. I don't know what I'm talking about exactly. But anyway, somehow your number came up, right? You won the Wheel of Fortune. And you've got to take the United States Economic Census for your business. And it manages the Census Bureau, and they take this, quote, economic census every 5 years, Kurt. Did you know that it's mandatory? You got to do it, or your business could be fined, Kurt.
I never heard of it, ever.
Well, buddy, neither have I. And so my wife comes to me, and she says, hey, is this thing really true? Is this like a joke, or do we really have to do this, or what? And I did a bunch of research and came back and said, you know what? I think it's something you're forced to do, Kurt. So this is an example of the regulation that we're talking about. I mean, I get the census, you know, every decade to generally understand how many people are in the United States and understand how many people are in a given household and such like that. It should be used for apportionment of taxes and you know, used by governments to decide about building some roads. And I mean, I get some infrastructure, internal discussions about, hey, where post offices ought to be. And there's some constitutional legitimacy to that in general. I get it. But they've literally taken the word census that is constitutional and now, and they've perverted it. And over the years, if you study the history of this sucker, they have literally grown, and just meter, monitor, control, and mandate literally everything. And there is an economic census in the United States that's taken every 5 years that you can be so-called randomly selected to be mandatorily. Is that a word, mandatorily? Anyway, by force, a, willing participant?
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
So this is not a joke. I thought it was when we first got the notice of, I don't know what you call it, forced participation. There is what's called the United States Economic Census that is taken every 5 years. And it's Title 13 of the U.S. Code. You got sections 131, 191, 224. And it manages the Census Bureau, taking the economic census every 5 years. And I guess if you're a business and your number comes up, you got to participate. Or else you can get big old ripping fines of like $5,000 or more and such like that. Anyway, all I'm telling you is that, you know how long they say it takes to take this thing, Kurt? There's little instructions that tell you can take this online, and here's how long the estimated time. Anywhere from 42 minutes to 5 hours and some odd minutes.
No more slavery.
Hey, Kurt, what are you, some kind of a racist going on over there? I mean, what are you talking about? Slavery? You're going to mock slavery because you have to fill out a form in your free country? Wow, listen to you. See, that's how the liberals will go about it. But I agree with Kurt. It's absolute double-down slavery. There's no constitutional authority for this at all. But they're going to look to this, quote, Title 13, which really kind of backs into what? IRS stuff, Kurt, or government taxing stuff, or Congress just over the years has increased, ratcheted up. And they ask you everything about your person, your family, your sex life, your business, to the point of, is this what the Founding Fathers intended? And we're not even close to being on target, Kurt. You're spot on. This is slavery to the nth degree. It's unnecessary. It's wrong. But that's how they figure out the GDP, Kurt. That's what they say in this form, or this little, you know, explanative thing. Is that the word? Explanative?
Explanation.
This little explanation thing? All right. All I'm telling you is 42 minutes to like 5+ hours it could take to fill it out. I guess I won the lottery, too, in my company. People are looking at me and going, Sam, you're the one that needs to fill this out.
Yeah.
I'm like, thanks, guys. What if I don't know the answers? What if there's two answers that are close and I choose something, Kurt? Could they then say that I lied? Oh, yes. Not filling out the form has stiff penalties, but lying, Kurt, has even stiffer penalties unless you're Hillary. Then it's all cool. Do you know what I mean? All right. Anyway, interesting stuff. I just thought I'd bring that latest regulatory frustration that I'm experiencing in the United States. You know how all those women back in the day were like, oh my gosh, Barack's going to pay for my car and Barry's going to pay for my house. And remember, they were all excited, right? I'm just kind of yelling out about this. What do they call this thing? United States Economic Census. Donald, please save me, sir. Please, please stop this craziness going on. Shut the census folks down. They're out of control, sir. Anyway, there you go. Didn't know if you knew that, Kurt. Any other comments on that real quick?
Well, it's just one more example of I'm pretty sure somebody somewhere put some bill in, you know.
Yeah, said, oh yeah, hey, you go study the history. It's a congressional increasing this. Every several years they increase the census abuse, Kurt.
And the way they got to do it is they got to just turn off the money to it.
Hey, amen. Couldn't agree more. Hey, you know, they always say, like, where's Waldo? You ever heard of that, Kurt?
Yeah.
Well, in that spirit, who the heck is Woody Harrelson, Kurt?
Well, you know, I first saw him on, I used to watch occasionally a little bit of a program called Cheers. And the guy was pretty fun. He was kind of a goofy guy from, like, the Midwest. They put him, you know, as a country boy, you know, and that kind of thing. And then I saw him in something else. And, you know, I've been, I guess you could say,
Kurt loves this guy.
Pleased with him. Not really.
No.
You know, I mean, I saw him a few times, but, you know, I thought he was a little bit funny in the Cheers thing. But, you know, now I'm less and less of a fan of him. Learning more about him. The headline from the Breitbart Boys, it says, Woody Harrelson mocks Mike Pence's Christian faith. So Woody Harrelson is, I guess he got nominated for an Oscar. I guess there's some show he's on now called, True Detective. I just have never seen it or anything.
As opposed to the false kind, right, Kurt?
I guess so. But he said he and Vice President Mike Pence palled around some at what was called Hanover College in the 80s. I suppose it's still around. But he said they would probably not be friends today due to Pence's Christianity because he has that kind of fervor that you really don't want. Is what Woody Harrelson said. And he told this to the late night TV host Jimmy Kimmel. Is another thing that I don't watch. But anyway, he said he had been quite religious when he was younger, this is Woody Harrelson talking, but decided to put his faith on hold.
So let me tell you how it is.
His 20s.
Hold on. Yeah. Back in the day when they could hang out, they were both fairly religious and Christian, good people. And this guy's jettisoned his Christian faith, and now he says he can't be friends of the Christian. Sounds super tolerant in your jettisoning of your old ways there, sir. So, you know, what a sad tale. And I'm not here to attack this guy because he's lost his faith. I'm here to hope that he can regain it at some point, Kurt.
Yeah, he said he wanted to live his 20s and 30s in extreme hedonism. Now, I'm just telling you, that's...
hedonism?
Hedonistic. It's like worldly and all that kind of stuff. He says
we were both very religious. Are we talking about heathenism or hedonism?
No, H-E-D-O-N-I-S.
I got a question. Is there a difference?
You heathen? I don't know. But here's this. He explains it a little more. He says, we were both very religious. It was a Presbyterian college at the time, and I was there on a Presbyterian scholarship. So, you know, seeing as how I'm not quite in that ballpark now, I don't know how we'd get along because I think he's still quite religious, Harrelson said with a knowing wink to the audience. Just a whole different brand of religious, that kind of fervor that you really don't want. Sure sounds like the great and spacious building to me, but then he says, recalling his college dealings with Pence, who was 2 years ahead of him in school, Harrelson said, I actually quite liked him. The actor said he thought he was a pretty good guy who was very religious and very committed. Pence, Harrelson said, was involved with the, you know, church activities. Later, Harrelson also explained how his theology studies contributed to the loss of his Christian faith, which coincided with a desire for a more hedonistic lifestyle. He said, it was good for me at the time that I started to shift off. I had studied theology, and I started to see how man-made the Bible was, he said. I started to say, I can put this whole thing on hold for a while. Let's just kind of like eat, drink, and be merry if we're in. Anyway, let's put this whole idea on hold so that I can have a 20s and 30s of extreme hedonism. Anyway,
Well, here's my response to this guy. You know, hey, I think they could be friends. I know that Christian folks could be kind to this guy and think of him as a kind of a lost brother as opposed to an advocate or an enemy. And I, you know, feel bad for this guy. It's sad that he's lost his faith. I think he could have so much more out of life, Kurt. I'm not of the exact same religion as Mike Pence either. But I think if we, you know, look at our Christianity and our faith and we say, hey, this poor guy... Woody Harrelson has just kind of lost his way, Kurt, and my prayers are with him and his family, and I hope that he can come to his senses, and I hope he can repent and change and reclaim a lot of his faith that I think personally he's known all along, and I think if he could return to that, I just hope for that day for the poor guy. That's all.
Yep. I guess he even, according to this...
And by the way, Kurt, I don't even know what color the guy is yet.
You want me to tell you?
Sure.
He's a white guy. But after 30 years of what they call marijuana advocacy, he has now sworn off pot. He says, I'm a party animal, but on the other hand, I haven't. I'm now extremely moderate, and I don't know how you'd be extremely moderate. And I actually stopped smoking pot almost a year ago, he said. But he says he does believe in God once again now.
My prayers are already being answered, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah,
he's quitting smoking pot, and he's believing in God, and he's got a long way to go. But, hey, we're going to keep praying for him and hope for the best. I'll tell you that right now. And there's some hope in California we'll tell you about, too, speaking of hope. Wow.
Yeah.
Kind of like that. Sam and Kurt on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use rolls right along. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. Tell all your friends archives are at libertyroundtable.com, and so is the donate button. Please help us out as we take America back, huh?
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Getting the kids to school, cleaning the house, doing the laundry. It seems that the work routine as a stay-at-home mom is never ending. And even though I'm the prime grocery shopper in our family of four, I simply don't have time to scrutinize all the labels on the countless food products I buy. Oh, sure, I've noticed all the latest certification seals. Organic, non-GMO, gluten-free. It definitely seems to be the latest craze. But it was only recently that kosher certification seals caught my attention. You see, my husband had me download an app called Kosertify, and it shed light on a century-old certification industry that slipped under the radar screen from the majority of our public. I also noticed a question mark at the end of the app name, and that makes great sense as there's far more questions regarding this industry than answers. In fact, the developers refer to this as the kosher question. Sure, I'm a busy mom and didn't pay attention to our food culture, but now I have transparency, a convenient grocery list feature, and the ability to eat in favor of my family's best interests, and you can discover it too at thekosherquestion.com.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
Oh my goodness, Marco Rubio just emailed me, Kurt. It's tremendous.
Marco's on it, huh?
Yeah, old buddy. I'm telling you right now, Marco, good old senator out of Florida, right? Mm-hmm. Good old conservative constitutional Christian going on over there. And he just emailed me.
Yes.
Marco Rubio says our majority is in danger, Kurt.
Oh, yeah.
And then he says, send in your cash. Yeah, all right. Come on, Marco, buddy. You're not a conservative. I don't agree with you. Don't know how I ever got on your list. We got to have the Can Spam Act apply to you, too, sir. I don't want your emails. You're bogus. I don't agree with anything that you're doing. I say you're bogus because I think you're turning away from your Christian faith as well. And I don't agree with your agenda. Okay, at all. And, you know, your majority is in danger because you didn't keep any of your promises, my friend. So if you want to know why, I'll tell you why. Anyway, I'm not here to attack Marco Rubio, but I'm sick of getting these emails from these people, Kurt. I'm just sick of it. Don't email me and ask me for money to fund your dishonest agenda. Whatever your agenda is, I don't know, but it isn't what you promised. I'll tell you that right now. All right, anyway, so Woody Harrelson mocking Mike Pence for his Christian faith. Marco Rubio begging Sam Bushman for cash. Wow. There you go, Kurt. Any comments on that before we move to the San Clarita story?
Marco, you know, it's too bad when there's, you got a disappointment like that. I mean, he could have, well, he could I mean, imagine if he was promoting the Constitution and doing the things that he should be doing.
You know what I'd be doing?
Yeah, supporting him.
Yeah. And so I want to be Christian to him. I'll pray for Marco, too. I'm just telling you that I'm just disappointed right now. And what bothers me most is at least Harrelson's coming out and, you know, telling you what he thinks. Marco's like, I'm your constitutional conservative buddy. Fund me, please. And then, hey, I just don't see it from them, Kurt. I don't really see a big thing the Republicans have accomplished. Now the headlines are saying, hey, they gave you the tax cuts. And now oil prices are up because of the battle with Iran. And now, so the tax cuts, you know, giveth and the gas hikes taketh away are the headlines, right? So all I'm telling you is I just don't see enough moving the needle towards the sacred cause of liberty going on by these people to warrant wanting to keep them in majority. They would say, well, Sam, it'll be worse under the Democrats. You got to vote for the lesser of two evils. And I'm just saying I don't fall for any of that, Kurt. We got to get good guys that'll move the needle towards liberty. Rand Paul's doing it. Mike Lee's doing it. There are some that are doing it to various degrees. But as far as I could tell, when Mike Lee, or I'm sorry, when Marco Rubio was on the stage with Ron Paul, we saw plenty. Or, no, he was on the stage with Rand, right?
Uh-huh.
Was it Rand? Anyway, it's hard for me to remember all these. Anyway, I think it was Marco Rubio and Rand Paul on the stage together. Marco Rubio had nothing to say nice about Rand. They could have worked together to make a tremendous difference. They could have joined on the same ticket, and one of them could have humbled themselves and said, hey, let's be a president and a VP candidacy. Let's merge and see if we can't get something done. Just imagine if Rubio would have done that and said, hey, I'm going to stand with Rand. Bring it. But I didn't see any of that. So anyway, I don't really appreciate Marco Rubio emailing me, begging me for money. Where did he get my email address? All right, Santa Clarita of the deuce, Kurt.
Yeah, good point, Sam. If you don't know where Santa Clarita is, ladies and gentlemen, Breitbart.com, it's a California city. And it's kind of, according to Ben Q there, K-E-W, the city council there has voted unanimously to oppose California's status as a sanctuary state. They've become the latest local authority to do so in an ongoing revolt against the state's loose immigration laws. By the way, they voted 5-0. That's a pretty good smackdown. They're going to oppose Senate Bill 54. According to the LA Times, the atmosphere at the meeting was often tense as audience members repeatedly heckled and booed one another. You know, the audience heckling and booing, prompting reprimands from Mayor Laureen West. They are deciding that they don't want to comply with the federal government whose policy they don't agree with, one man told ABC7. It seems very similar to what the Confederacy did in 1861 to me.
Wow. Now say, that guy, I don't know what color all these people are, but that's just smacking of slavery. And see how they go with that, Kurt? The comparison has nothing to do with slavery, by the way. The comparison is, you know, federal government just shoving policy down the throats of local municipalities is what we're talking about, right?
Yeah. And it burns... spoke up and she said, I don't understand when these people have committed a crime, why can't one agency be able to call another agency?
Huh. We're talking about the checks and balances that the founding fathers were known for, Kurt? Is that what we're talking about right there?
Yeah, that's right. And I guess city council members of the Orange County city of Los Alamitos became the first local authority to reject the state's sanctuary law. Setting off a domino effect in other Orange County cities, including Fountain Valley, Huntington Beach, Mission Viejo, San Juan Capistrano, and Aliso Viejo.
They all agree with the Donald, don't they, Kurt?
They kind of agree with the rule of law. Sam.
Oh, imagine that. If you agree with the rule of law and the Donald, that's like double jeopardy, isn't it, Kurt?
Real dangerous. They say other towns and cities are opposing the law. They have included Escondido in San Juan County or San Diego County and Hesperia in San Bernardino County. California, they say, is currently the subject of a lawsuit from the federal government over its refusal to enforce federal immigration law.
Now, hold on. Say that again. Because this is what the battle's about. They act like these cities have gone rogue, right, Kurt?
Yep.
Okay, and I'm going to be very clear. They're not going rogue. These cities are spot on. And read that last sentence again, because I think that tells you who's, in my opinion, the offender here.
California is currently the subject of a lawsuit from the federal government over its refusal to enforce federal immigration law.
So let me explain this. You have the federal government trying to uphold the law. You've got these cities trying to uphold the law. And you've got a rogue state in the middle trying to just smack everybody down and violate the law. Isn't that what you got going on in California, Kurt?
That's what I think you've got going on.
Wow. All right. Very interesting. Good for those folks. We got to stand up and we got to support the rule of law. If you don't like the law, there are systems in place to talk about it and discuss it and advocate for and eventually change it. But you don't have the right just to reject the law because you don't like what it says. And you know what? This is not an illegal discussion. Well, maybe it is. See, they don't want you to believe it's just an undocumented immigrant discussion. No, it's an illegal discussion. And I don't care what color somebody is. I want to reject illegality. And if we don't like the rules, we should change them to be more appropriate. But in the meantime, we need to uphold them. This is a legal issue. They want you to believe it's not a legality issue, but that's exactly what it is. All right, Kurt, are you an economist?
Well, what
be careful
does
now.
Mean,
well, it depends on whose definition you want to support. I'm just asking you if you're an economist. Now, be careful because you can go to jail if you, you know. Are you a journalist? Are you an economist? Are you a.
Yeah, good point.
And they create all these labels and play games.
Who's defining it now?
So, you want to know my response?
Not
in
ahead.
The traditional sense. No, sir. I am not.
Yeah.
I'm not a journalist. I'm a commentator. I'm not an economist. I am a free-thinking, free-market analysis.
Analyst.
Analyst, yeah. There you go. I provide analysis. I'm an analyst in that sense, I guess.
Uh-huh.
You got to be careful with all these words because you can get trapped. And pretty soon you might go to jail if you call yourself a journalist and you don't peddle the canned government news that Donald wants. Right? Nevertheless, I guess economists are all doubling down on their thoughts on the economy, Kurt. You know what they're saying?
Yeah, well, I know some of what they're saying. What do you
think?
Go ahead. According to the headlines I'm looking at, Market Watch has got it. Wall Street Journal's got it. Headline reads, economists see U.S. entering recession in 2020. Wonder if they see it very well with 2020. But anyway, Greg Robb is the author. It says the U.S. economic expansion will most likely end in 2020, according to a survey of economists by the Wall Street Journal. Now, these are the same guys that pretty much predicted a meltdown if Trump was
elected
right. president.
They lost credibility for sure. But, Kurt, you know, you've mentioned this several times. Is this a case of leading the witness, Kurt? Talk about that for a second.
That's exactly right. You know, it's just like President Trump. He goes on the, you could say, on the air or whatever, basically promoting America and America first and jobs in America. And what do you see happening? Well, these guys, you know, so many of them want to oppose him. So they're going to start, you know, saying, oh, the sky is falling, and that's what's
and it's
going to
happen right when Donald's trying to run for re-election, isn't it, Kurt? That's just such one of those crazy coincidences. Hang tight. Sam and Kurt on your radio.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
So they're getting liberal economists all together, Kurt. They're intentionally sowing the seeds of doubt, and they're trying to basically set the stage for economic doldrums to occur right when Donald's pushing for his re-election. And they're trying to set the stage for this by kind of leading the witness by just telling you how horrible. I mean, it's coming. You know, we've had kind of one of the longest bullish rides we've had, and it's got to come to an end. And well, some are saying 2020, some are saying 2021. Some are even predicting 2019. But as a whole, they're kind of saying, you know, if you elect the Donald again, it's just going to go bad right after that. So don't do it. And or it might be really bad while Donald Trump, just get ready for this. It's coming. And how much of this is a self-fulfilling prophecy scenario, Kurt?
Well, you know, at least to me, it's kind of like we had a buddy that was in the investment world, you know, years ago, a buddy named Rick Kerber. And the guy, the state basically started coming after him and accusing him of, you know, whatever. And the bottom line is all it takes, all it took in his world, in my opinion, was just to be accused. And that pretty much put the kibosh on any of his business. And, you know, it can happen the same way with anybody, anytime. I believe, for example, let's say you're a restaurant and some, you know, government entity wants to treat you a lesson. They can always, you know, say that, hey, they found some E. coli or something like that and call their buddies in the media. And before you know it, hey, you got real troubles, you know. So that's what I see happening here. But, you know, you got to remember the other thing is if it bleeds, it leads. So that means, hey, this tragic idea of a big drop-off or a recession in 2020, hey, that's going to be something that if they put it up, then it'll sell papers or sell ads or sell eyeballs or whatever.
Amen to that. Now, here's what I find interesting, Kurt. While these economists are running around saying, oh, the next U.S. recession could begin in 2020, while that headline is being floated, if you will, in some of the biggest rags across the country, virtually in unison, right?
Yep.
Right. What about the next headline that stands in complete contrast to that? Starts out U.S. jobless claims. Okay, this is important to understand, folks.
Very good. You know, at least, you know, I have a hard time finding this one basically
anywhere. Of course you do. It doesn't go along with the narrative. I mean, the truth shall set you free if you're in possession of it, right?
Yeah, it's what you'd call good news, right, Sam? And
I think so. I guess it depends on your reference point. If you want to destroy the economy, it's bad news.
Good point. You know, but that's what you see. You know, you just don't see a whole bunch. The headline reads, U.S. jobless claims stick near 49-year low of 211,000. Now, so what that's really saying, Sam, is back 49 years ago, there were, I guess you could say, fewer jobs. Or, let's see. In other words, there's more people working now and able to find jobs than 49 years ago. I mean, it's been a long time since things were this, you could say, good.
Rosy is the term they use economically, Kurt.
Yeah, if you're talking about finding a job.
So the point is your prospects of finding a job now are better now than they've been over the last 49 years.
Yeah, which is a pretty big amount of time.
It's a huge amount of time. It's an incredible deal, and it ought to be celebrated. What's wrong with these people?
Well, yeah, and it should be, you know, you should look and say, hey, if this is what's done this, now let's try to make it better, you know, at least for me, you know.
And well,
then
that
you
would
go,
be part of that Make America Great Again, Kurt. But
yeah,
if you put
let's
on that
restore
hat,
honest money. Oh, yeah. Let's restore honest money. Let's eliminate the IRS. Let's drop, you know, government spending. Restore the constitutional, you know, government. I mean, there's just so much more that could be done. Just imagine the Shangri-La would be like if we
Yeah,
did.
I could only imagine, Kurt.
Amen to that.
Anyway, it's good news, and I'm just saying these two headlines are literally side by side in the news. One is almost buried, and the other one is just touted from the rooftops, Kurt.
Yeah.
The negative news, exactly rooftops. Right. Positive news, buried. Why? You got to ask yourselves why. And what commentators do you want to listen to? Okay, I'm not an economist in the quote traditional sense, but I'm telling you right now, I look at something like that headline and I say, you know what? That's good news and I'm excited about it. And I can tell you how to get more of it too. By the way, Donald's not an economist either, Kurt, in the quote traditional sense.
Oh, no. Yeah.
But he does know how to create jobs. The evidence is clear.
Yeah, get government out of the way.
Yeah, bring it. What do I got to do to help is my only question left, economist or not.
Yeah.
I'm just a lowly old talk show host, a little analyst or a commentator or just express my opinion and all that. My opinion is Donald's doing a pretty good job and we could do better and we could do more and let's help him get that done. And maybe the next 4 years for the Donald will eclipse this 4 years in terms of accomplishments.
Yeah.
So imagine an idea like that. I know it sounds crazy, but we can hope for all hopes. All right, Kurt. Chuck Baldwin, our good buddy from Montana, well-known Christian pastor, writes an article really relating to this gun control movement going on. You know, everything since things kind of went crazy in Florida, there's been this big battle over guns, as we've highlighted on the radio many times. Anyway, Chuck Baldwin weighs in, and he writes the following headline. Guns save over 2 million lives in America every year, writes Chuck Baldwin. And he documents it and everything else. So, you know, the rape me nots, the murder me nots, these guns that are so maligned in the news today defend lives way more than they take lives, Kurt, by far. It isn't even close. 2 million times. And the government buried the report on this. And Chuck calls them out for it. And Chuck lays down the reality check, if you will. On the fact that guns save over 2 million lives a year. And we thought the article was so compelling, we published it on our website at libertyroundtable.com. Check it out. Pretty cool stuff. And my response is, good for Chuck. Now, I don't know if he's a journalist or not, but he writes articles. Right? And, you know, good for the, Christian pastor that writes articles? Don't dare call him a journalist.
Yeah, I say, keep it up, Chuck.
Amen. All right, Roy Moore's in the news. He's had it up to here, hasn't he, Kurt? But we're starting to see truth.
Yeah.
We're starting to see truth in what Roy's been saying all along, too, Kurt. Go ahead.
Good point. You know, he's dealt with so much of this, Sam, and now he's filing what they call a defamation lawsuit against four of his accusers in. Other Roy Moore news, he's also not ruling out a run for elected office again. So, you know, it looks to me like there's some, I mean, I'm glad to see he's not just going back and saying, hey, I give up. Because, you know, the fight for freedom is not an easy battle. And, you know,
amen to that, Kurt. But this just ain't his style to give up, Kurt. That is now that isn't the cloth this guy's cut out of.
That's right.
I'll tell you that right now.
Exactly right.
Now, there's two points about this. Number one, Roy Moore files defamation suit against four of his accusers. Now, that's interesting news, because you thought it'd go away. He has not conceded the race, but here's what's interesting, Kurt. Something happened that's critical everybody needs to know about that you're not hearing about anywhere in the mainstream press. They say local judges. Go ahead. Do you have this one?
Yeah, well, this at is least a critical I'm looking point. At, you know, these guys, basically, you're talking about the ones that support him?
Nope. It says local judges.
Let me find
recuse
it.
Themselves.
Yeah, that's right.
In more lawsuit against accusers. Now, why would the judges recuse themselves? Let's talk about that for a minute. What does recuse yourself mean, Kurt?
Well, it typically means, hey, I know these people, and you know, I'd probably be not unbiased.
In other words, I got a conflict of interest.
It's supposed to be. Yeah.
So I got to get out of the way so we can have justice here, at least the you know, hope of justice. Okay, who do these judges know that could compromise the case? Do you mean they might know Roy?
Maybe.
Or they might know the accusers, Kurt?
Yeah.
How would these judges know these recusers? And all I'm telling you is when you start to see people, what? Get off the deck?
Yeah,
bail the case,
right.
Get out of harm's way, whatever word you want to use, right? You got to start to wonder what more there meets the eye.
Yep. They say there were six judges in an Alabama county that have recused themselves from presiding over the lawsuit filed by failed. This is the AP story, so this is how they write it. So you can see their twist. By failed U.S. Senate candidate Roy Moore. You know,
why don't they say failed? Like, why don't they just ignore all that and just say by colleague Judge Roy Moore?
Or former Chief Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court.
Roy Moore, or whatever, right.
Yeah.
That's my point, sure.
But see, if they want to write it, you know, to make him look bad, then they call it failed.
All they got to say is pedophile right there, to accuse pedophile.
Yeah,
failed.
Right.
You know,
against
senatorial
some
candidate.
Of the women who accused him of sexual misconduct. It says news outlets report Etowah County's four circuit judges and two district judges filed recusals with interim Alabama Chief Justice Lynn Stewart a week after Moore filed a political conspiracy lawsuit.
See, well, just stop already. Wait a minute. Political conspiracy lawsuit? Let's back up for a minute. He's just saying I've been falsely accused. I'm going to take this to court and try to get to the bottom of it, get to the truth. And now you got people fleeing the Titanic big time. And you got to wonder why. If Roy has nothing here, why would everybody be leaving him? Why would six judges leave this thing, Kurt? I'm telling you, there's more here than meets the eye. And it gives me a lot more faith in Roy. Not that I didn't have faith in him anyway. But a lot more faith here on this reality check that there's a problem here, Kurt. And they know it.
Good point, Sam.
And they know it.
Yep.
Six judges leave, recuse themselves in more lawsuit against
the
accusers.
They say the
Why?
Judges' recusals cite two reasons. One of them says, let's see, he says, oh boy, Siri thinks I'm talking to her. Anyway,
Kurt's not following my advice to leave the phone in the other room, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, that's right. See, except for occasionally people will text during the program wanting their, you know, info on the program. And so that's one of the reasons I
that's
keep
right.
it available. But bottom line is these guys are saying, hey, they don't want to be part of this because they know down their way what kind of man Judge Roy Moore is, I believe. And they don't really want to come out and be looking like they oppose him.
Well, all I can tell you is when you start seeing six judges flee the case the second it gets filed, you know there's more accountability coming down, and you know there's more than meets the eye there. They wanted to tell you in the mainstream press that Judge Roy Moore was just a loser and a failed, and this just a scramble for attention or an attempt to, you know, ignore the truth. Now you're starting to find out the truth, that there's way more here than meets the eye, and these people are afraid to touch it for who knows what reasons. Maybe they'll get caught with their hand in the cookie jar. Maybe the Me Too movement will go after some of these other judges. Or maybe the truth will come out, huh? All right, LibertyRoundtable.com. We declare this nation shall endure. Richard Mack up next.